Quiet Mind, Day 72. Pain feeds on pain. How misery fuels itself and what can break the cycle. Alcohol doesn't just loosen inhibitions, it often flings the door wide open for the pain body to stomp in, fully loaded and ready to cause a scene. For many men, and not a few women, drinking isn't just a way to unwind, it's a backstage pass for the pain body to take center stage. The kind, apologetic person you meet in the morning might be sincere, but they're not the same entity that caused the chaos last night. That was the pain body in full possession, and unless it's recognized and disarmed through presence and awareness, it'll come back, like clockwork. Some pain bodies love inflicting pain. Others prefer soaking in it like a hot bath of bitterness. Most do both. And in intimate relationships, the attraction can sometimes be between pain bodies, not people. It feels like romance, but it's actually a perfect storm of matching emotional wounds. What starts as infatuation becomes psychological warfare, complete with yelling, icy silences, or petty landmines over who left the toothpaste cap off. Here's a secret. Most couples don't realize it until it's too late. You don't just marry a person, you marry their pain body too. It might lie dormant at first, letting you enjoy the honeymoon phase in peace. But wait until you've unpacked your stuff and made some joint financial decisions. Then one day, bam, a completely different version of your partner appears, channeling rage, withdrawal, or deep resentment. Suddenly you're living with a stranger, and so are they. Some people carry pain bodies so dense they never fully power down. They may smile and chat, but just beneath the surface there's a rumbling storm ready to go off at the next minor inconvenience. These people are emotional amplifiers, taking a small slight or disagreement and blowing it into a full-scale war. They drag others into their personal theater of misery, desperately trying to feel alive through drama and conflict. Ironically, many of these folks become activists, fighting for noble causes with destructive energy. The cause might be righteous, but their pain body hijacks the mission. They end up sowing division, anger, and resistance even within their own ranks, unable to escape their pattern of needing an enemy, any enemy, to validate their suffering. Pain bodies don't just feed on personal drama, they love entertainment too. Think violent movies, rage-inducing headlines, scandalous tabloid gossip. Much of the media isn't informing people, it's emotionally activating them, offering pain bodies a feast of outrage, shock, and vicarious suffering. Why else would millions pay to watch simulated death and violence for fun? Simulated death and violence for fun. It's not entertainment, it's emotional junk food for the pain-addicted psyche. This collective pain body also wears different cultural costumes. Tribes, nations, ethnicities all carry inherited emotional trauma. Women in particular carry a unique and often heavy slice of this suffering. The suppression of the feminine, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, has fed a planetary imbalance for thousands of years. Millions of women were killed simply for being attuned to nature or having knowledge the patriarchal systems feared. The sacred feminine wasn't just silenced, it was branded demonic and nearly erased. But here's the turning point. Awareness is arising. And because the ego never gripped women quite as tightly as it did men, that awareness is blooming faster in many women. The suppressed feminine is no longer just pain, it's waking up, reclaiming its voice, and bringing back balance into a world long ruled by fear and dominance. To recognize pain for what it is, not as truth, not as identity, not as your partner's real face, is to begin breaking the chain. When pain becomes visible, it loses power. When you see the madness in yourself or others, sanity has already begun to emerge. The pain body can't survive where awareness lives.